Thank you. All righty, and like I said, I love that song. We can sing it one more time, but I'm not going to go there. I'm a little bit behind on my board. Last week we were supposed to be talking about hate, but we talked a little bit about that thing that lying does, and I just was compelled to speak about that last week. Friday, we spoke in our Bible class, and we got into a wonderful little bit of a conversation about the lake of fire. And I went home and spent the weekend writing a sermon on the lake of fire. But I was on the way to the building this morning, and then that little bit of that hate popped up again. And so I decided to go with what is this thing about hate? To give it to you more precisely, I was getting on the freeway and I had built up my speed and I was doing pretty good. I took about 55 miles an hour. And the one car went by and the car coming behind, I was going to merge in between, sped up. Okay. And sped all the way up. And I'd already committed to that lane. And so since I had committed to the lane and I was running out of lane, I went on ahead and got in front of the person. As I got in front, normally I waved my hand in the rearview mirror so they could see, thank you for letting me over. And as I glanced up, the lady in the van was throwing her arm. Now, I don't know how she was driving, but she was throwing both arms to the side as if I had done something to annoy her. And the first thing I thought was, it's Sunday morning. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. What are you so angry about? And it just, we have been just, and I guess the word I'm not, but we have had this deluge of hate that's just being poured over us. That even when we don't want to hate, people still around us would like us to. I don't know what she might have said to me if I were to have followed her, because as soon as I got on, she got off. So I can't imagine where she was going. What you can imagine was I started to follow her, but I was on my way here, and I probably wouldn't have made it. But I wanted to ask you, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong? Why couldn't you just let me on? We're deteriorating into an entire society that is being led by hate. And instead of trying to even find the nice things to do, we want to go to that. And it's just so strange to me. It is so strange to me that we're stuck in that area, that we are being just led by hate. And I don't know, I haven't even read the book yet. I'm still stuck on that. But, I mean, read my stuff here, but I'm still stuck on that. Because we're led by hate. What is it we got into where you'd rather someone hate you than love you? And if you're wondering what your problem is as a member of the Church of Christ, as a member of the body of Christ, as someone who would say God loves you and he wants you in his body, it's because someone else out there is telling people hate is better than love. And I can't figure that out. And so, I'm sorry, but that bothered me because I wanted to actually follow her and ask, are you okay? Are you okay? All right, so when you're in your prayers, I don't know their names, unfortunately, but there were two old women who live out where Brother Carey lived, and they were on their way home, and we were on our way home, and someone ran into them from behind. They were a little shaken up. They were senior citizens. They weren't hurt, but they were shaken up. And I don't know their names, but just mention it to God, and prayerfully he's calmed them down. I had to get up underneath their car and take some stuff off, but they were able to drive home. So thank God for that they weren't hurt. But yeah, keep them in your prayer. They were pretty shooken up. When I took the stuff off the lady's car, she said, don't go away without giving me a hug. And so I gave her a hug, and then that was made everybody feel better. I think even the highway patrolman laughed a little bit. I almost went into a prayer session right then and there, but I missed that opportunity, so God forgive me for that. But it is, and the verb definition of hate is to feel intense or passionate dislike for someone or something. And that's what I mean. What is it? Now, people can do stuff to you where you will feel a certain dislike for them, but how do you dislike people who've done nothing to you? And that's why I was so mixed up in how I wanted to present this lesson, because that's what it's about. You don't have to do anything to me. I'm hating you on a principle that someone is giving me that says you should hate these people and you should hate these people. And now we've gotten so bad with the hate that they're saying what? You shouldn't hate these people. You shouldn't hate these people. And it's like, I don't hate anybody. Didn't hate anybody in the beginning. They say they hate evangelicals. Now, I don't know if you fall under the term evangelical or not, but they hate evangelicals, so they decide they're going to hate all of Christianity. They hate the only people in the world that love them. Even though we don't know them, we still love them, because we follow a God, and we follow a God that says love everybody. Love them and do what? Love them and bring them to me so that they can have eternal life. But there's someone telling them, hate them. So what is it about it that you can let somebody say you should hate them, and you're not going, you're just sitting out there and you're not saying, why? What have they done to me? But yet it doesn't work out that way. And hate has synonyms like loathe, and detest, and despise, and dislike, and abhor, and I can't pronounce that other word, but I did look it up. And though after I looked it up, I still couldn't pronounce it. Now, I do not know what some of those words mean, but I don't think any of them have anything to do with love. The noun definition of hate is intense and passionate dislike. And I thought it was interesting that you could have a passionate dislike of something. That they chose to use that word, and this is out of the dictionary, but they chose to use the word passionate dislike. Passionate dislike. That means you really just want to dislike somebody. You know, you don't even want to dislike somebody that you're having an argument with. That argument goes away. Those things go away. Eventually, you make up with them. There's no room for making up in the society that we have. You can't make up for it. The only way you can make up for it is what? You have to agree with whatever's wrong that I'm doing in order for me to like you. If you don't agree with what I'm doing, especially if what I'm doing is wrong, then no, you hate me. Yeah. That's how bad it's gotten. A passionate dislike. What hate has become is more than hate ever was. Hate has evolved because we are being told what hate is, but I believe we're not given the true definition of the word. Not everything is being called hate, so the definition of hate has become unclear. So we're just calling everything hate, so we don't even know what. You know that you can make a mistake and say something to somebody and be classified as hate? You can say something to somebody and they'll classify it as hate speech. And you're just talking. You're not even angry. But you can say something and it'll be hate speech. I didn't even know there was such a thing as hate speech. But it is now. It's hate speech. And it could be something as simple as, why are you wearing pink shoes? I mean, that's hate speech, you know. No, that's pink shoes. You know, it's pink shoes. Because you know what is pink? Is cancer? Is that pink? Is that what pink represents? Mm-hmm. Cancer? Yes. So you could be saying, is that represent, are you representing somebody that you in your family who has cancer? But no, you that's hate speech because they took it the wrong way. Hatred or hate is a deep and extreme emotional dislike. Then we're still into what is hate, especially invoking feelings of anger and resentment. It can be directed against individuals, groups, entities, objects, behaviors, or ideas. Hate is often associated with the feelings of anger, disgust, and a disposition towards hostility. Hate takes effort. Does anybody not get hate takes effort? It takes effort to hate people. It takes effort to hold on to whatever was in that argument that you lost. And since you lost the argument, you decided that you're going to hold on to, well, I lost that argument, so I'm not going to like Sister Barbara the rest of the month. That's because I lost and she was right and I was wrong. So all that energy is going to take me to dislike Sister Barbara, who is a outwardly nice person, and she's walking around and she's hugging all of you, and y'all all sharing all of these the niceties of seeing one another and involved in the fellowship. But here I come, and I ain't gonna like Sister Barbara. I'm gonna miss out on the hugs, but I'm willing to do that. That takes effort. And that I'm the one that's losing out. Because I like the hugs too. So, you know, but you think you let it go. But you won't. Because you want to do what? I want to hate because I didn't win that argument. Well, do your facts next time. Let's not have the argument. If we don't have the arguments, then everybody gets hugs. But that's what they're teaching us. If you don't win the argument, hate. And you can go, and I read it from the last one, but you can pick a word. You can pick a word. You can pick what degree you want. But they want you to hate. But you can pick the degree to which you hate. But they're saying hate. And I don't think they even know what hate is. I don't think anybody really knows what hate is. Siblings. I was going to say brothers and sisters, but we're brothers and sisters. Siblings. There are siblings who are born, and you would think it's the siblings who are born like far apart, but it's the siblings who are born close together, and it's like they hate each other. It's the one is always getting in the other one's way, and the other one's getting in the other one's way, but that's just growing up. They love each other. But so hate takes energy. And not only it takes energy, but as you can see, I put here, it takes time and energy as well as effort. It takes all of your time. How many times I've seen it in movies, but where you people have hated so long till it was too late to change because somebody passed away. Somebody got too sick to understand the fight was still going on. So now you're trying to hate somebody who can't even remember your name. It takes time because something seems to have to bother a person so much for so long that all they can think or feel is hate. And that's pretty bad because sometimes something you're going to do is going to make me laugh. And you know what that is? That's an opportunity to end that mess. And to reintroduce the love into the equation. See, when we go out, and we will be going out, and people will be telling us to get off their doorstep. And we hope and pray it doesn't happen that way, but if it does, we're going to be going out. We're going to be doing something, because we're out here to save some souls. And you know, and a lot of you may be even better at it than me, but we're going to talk to some folks about saving some souls. And we're going to be going out, and we're going to be trying to reintroduce love into the equation. And we're going to be telling people that God loves them so much that they're sending us to them to bring them to Him, not us, to bring them to Him so that He can be, they can be with Him, where love is going to be all the time throughout eternity. And some people are going to hate us for that. And that's not even fathomable, but it's true. It's true. It takes energy because to hate something or someone wears you down. I used to say all the time, I want to pray and so I can get older, so I can just be that grumpy old man because they seem to have so much fun. Get off my yard! I want a house and I want a big yard so I can get off that grass! But I don't want that anymore. That was because I watched them. Oh boy, they take it. At least that's what he used to tell us. Get off my grass. It wears you down. It makes you tired. And you can imagine as you get older in age, you already are worn down a little bit. You're already a lot less than you used to be. A lot of us were more athletic. We were we could run faster and jump higher, and we could stay up longer. You didn't even think staying up was part of the equation, didn't you? You could stay up longer, and you're not telling people at 8:30, 9 o'clock is on the way. I need to be somewhere near the house or in the house, preferably already in bed, by 9 o'clock. And I know by 9:15 I ought to be asleep. Now, after that, you know. So sometimes you'd be like, it's time to go. But you're already wearing down because you're getting older. You're trying to keep up with younger people who have the energy you had, but you don't have it anymore. How are you going to have that and hate? It wears you down even more. It takes something from you. And it eventually wears you out, draining your energy. If you had to run a marathon, it leaves you angry and bitter to the point where it's hard to do anything but hate. That's how strong hate is, and I think as they're flirting with it, they don't realize that that's how strong it is. To where all you want to do is hate. And that is unimaginable, that all you want to do is hate. But if that's all you ever do, that's all you're ever going to know, and that's all you're going to do, right up till the end. And you know, hate has two sides. I may not hate you as well, but I may stay away from you. And then you end up sitting in the house by yourself. And because nobody wants to come visit you. And what's the first thing you say to somebody when they come visit you? Don't nobody care. Don't nobody come over here. Well, stop yelling at people. They're the kids. Don't tell them it's all right to play in the yard. What are you playing? We used to play that when we were young. Let them play in the yard. You spend $150 a week to get the grass cut just so you can look at it. Hate takes so much time to develop that thing you feel against a person or situation. It takes so much time that the thing might be easily rectified. You might be able to fix it. You're spending all your time trying to hate somebody for something that you guys can sit down and talk about. Hey, you can sit down and talk about it. You can rent a pair of gloves and go into a boxing ring. I think they have some little foam thingies that they hit each other with that don't hurt nobody. And you can. There are several ways that you can rectify that other than just sitting there and hating people. and you get the little foam things and you start hitting each other with those things and you don't realize how much aggression comes out, but you don't hurt each other. That's actually a therapy where they tell them, they give them two foam thingies and tell them, if you want to hit that person, hit them. And you sit there and you guys whack each other. And it comes out to the point that a lot of people come out laughing because it's funny. Because every time you hit them, the thing bends. You can't hurt them. And it's a therapy. So you can get that aggression out. Well, there's a whole lot of people that need a whole lot of foam fingers. And they need to beat each other over the head. They need to beat their enemies up over the head until everybody's laughing. And it would be such a wonderful thing for everybody to be laughing. The time spent hating could be applied to fixing the problem. See, to me it seems you don't have to hate. You gotta wanna hate. You gotta wanna hate. You don't have to hate anybody. Jesus said, do what? Turn the other cheek. He said, if they do something to you, turn the other cheek as well. He said, what? Walk a mile in their shoes. He said, give them your, don't, hey, if they take it, give it all to them. We don't have to hate anybody. See, that's the whole thing. And I wish somebody was listening to me that a little bit further away from right here so that they can know you don't have to hate, you gotta wanna hate. And we're the group telling everybody stop the hate for real. Because when you say stop the hate against me, well, no, stop the hate against everybody. Come to Christ. Look at an entire book of love. Let's start loving everybody. The 70s had the right idea. They just had some really strong drugs that was messing it up. What did they say? Peace and love. And I'm sure they meant the kind of love I'm talking about, but they said peace and love. But they, you know. But you gotta wanna hate. But as I said, when you're a member of the body of Christ, there's an alternative to hate. Luke chapter 6, 27 through 36. Luke chapter 6, 27 through 36. If you want to turn there in a few minutes, I'll have it up on the screen. But it's Luke chapter 6, 27 through 36. And listen to that. Listen to that first part of it. When he said, for those who will listen. Those who will listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who do what? Do hate you. But notice it says to those that will listen. So if they'll listen, I'm going to love my enemies. And I'm going to go do good to them. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic as well. So if someone hates you, do good. So inject some love into this thing. Because when you're asking, what about hate? Say, well, what about love? What about the love of Christ? What about the love that God had that he gave his only begotten son? What about that? Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I love that one. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing, because that means every time that I decide that I want to get back at you. Well, I don't want you getting back at me. See, that one holds you down in Christianity. I don't want to do what you did to me. I want to do what? I want to do good to those who treat me wrong. So if I want you to do good to me, Brother Russell, then I'm going to do good to you. And if you do something wrong to me, I'm still going to do something good to you. Why? Because I want you to be good to me. And that takes a strong person to do that, because what's our natural thing? See, that was the thing with hate. That's the reason why they started to use hate, because it's natural to hate someone who hates you. So it wasn't hard. It's hard to love somebody that hates you. So we chosen a field that asked a lot of us. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And so even sinners see, so hey, they're doing the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Because even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and insult you and reject you as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for their fathers treated the prophets in the same way. And the prophets in the same way. A lot of the prophets of old were killed. They were killed for directing the people as God would have them direct them. We finished in off Amos, right? And one of the priests who was close to the king told Amos, you need to go somewhere else and preach that. You need to go elsewhere. I think when Elijah came around, even though when Samuel went to the anoint David, and he walked into the I forgot where it was, but and they say, oh, here he come. It got to be something bad coming. Hey, there's Sam. No, they were like, no, here comes Samuel. What you got? What bad thing do you have that you want to say to us this time? So they weren't exactly. So that's what it means. Your father treated them the same way. When they hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they reject your name as evil, then recognize the reason is because of the Son of Man. So if they hate you because you love God, God got you back. That's the motivation, to keep loving people, to keep doing what we do. And we do what we do when people tell us that, and some people aren't nice about telling us they don't want to be bothered with it. But we say, okay. And we turn, and I love it, because that's the best part about it, when Jesus said, do what? Kick the dust off your feet and go someplace else. I don't have to sit there and argue with you about why you don't want to know God. It's like, I gave you a chance, you turned me down, I'm going to go to the next door. Now, if you follow me next door, and we can go sit there and talk to them, and maybe they'll tell you to get off their property, rather than agreeing with you and tell me to get off their property. Not everybody hates God. And I've said it a few times, and I'm not sure I'm right, but a lot of people who say they don't believe in God do believe in God. They're just trying to put that poor portion of themselves, trying to put it behind them, because they've taken it in. They believe that they should hate everybody, and they know God tells you what? Tells you don't hate everybody. And I believe more people that believe in God than you can imagine. Don't be a hater too. But to those who will listen, I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Don't be a hater too. See, there's always an option. As I said before, you have to want to hate. and it's time consuming and it's energy consuming and it ruins your day and it ruins your life. And the longer you hold on to it, the longer you want to do it, eventually you run out of people to hate because there are less people around you. And so I said, you have to want to hate. You have to put all your effort into it. You don't to attempt to find a solution to the problem. It takes all your time to hate and none of your time to find a solution. You put whatever time you have left in it, and then you have to want to hate. To put all the time you have left in it. That's to put all of your time right up until they're the calling home or the resurrection or Christ coming in the clouds and saying, it's time to come. You put all of that into hate. Well, you'll be still left here to hate some more people. And you should have fun with that. Because I won't be here anymore. Okay. I'm praying I won't be here anymore. So don't let me get cocky up here. Y'all need to say something when I say that. Y'all, I don't want to be. Because if I get left, then I can hate too. But I don't want to get left. I'm going to sit here and tell y'all I'm going to be the only one down here preaching when y'all in heaven. I'm going to be down here. I'm going to be mad. So I need to do right. Because I know me. And if that's the case, yes, I am going to blame Sister Linda. I'm going to spend the rest of my time asking why is she up there and I'm down here. Tell the Lord, you need to go get her and bring her back. I can get pretty petty now, but we want to go to heaven. And we're in this thing and we're talking about love. And we're telling other people to love one another. How many, 50, 52, 53, 54 times that one another is in the Bible? Have you ever looked at how many times one another is in the Bible?
77.
Have you ever looked at any? Well, he has. Have you ever looked at how many times the love one another is in the Bible? Love one another. Take care of one another. Bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. One another. We're all about one another. But you can't be about one another if you hate. So what is it about hate that's so fulfilling to people that they're just letting people tell them, hate? And then you say, well, who are you hating? Why are you hating? And you certainly, as I said earlier, you can't hate me because I disagree with you. We're not the same people. We're not robots. I know. I checked. We're not robots. Bots. So you have to put all the time. That's all the time you have left. Lord's will, Wednesday? Okay, Lord's will, Wednesday, I'll be 60 years old. So I'll be 40 years older than most of the people who knew me when I was 15 said that I was supposed to be here. Because a lot of people said I wouldn't even make it to 20. So I managed to make it 40 years past 20 unless something happened to me in the next few days. And if something happened to me in the next few days, y'all call the police or Sister Tracy. But unless something happens to me in the next 3 days, I would have surpassed that. And so, amen, I would have surpassed the fact that I did not get myself killed before I was 20 years old. And so, yeah, I want 60 to come. And yeah, I was walking up the stairs yesterday and my knee went out and I had to grab the rail to keep it from going backwards. And I get a little tired sometimes. I can maybe run to the car on a good day. But I'm happy because I surpassed it. My life changed. First, somebody was with me. My mother prayed for me, and I thank her for it. Because somebody had to pray for me because I had some issues. So you have to want to hate. Isaiah 64:1. And this may not have anything to do with what we're talking about. I don't know where I dug it up from. It was in there. But listen to this. If you would only tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, just as fire set twigs ablaze and the fires cause water to boil to make your make known your name to your enemies, yes, to your enemies before you, so that the nations might quake at your presence. And that's the International Standard Version, because that was the best one that said, if you would just tear open the mountain. He's talking to God. It's Isaiah talking to the Lord, saying, if you just tear them open and come down, and all the things that are going to happen when you come down, that everybody will know who you are. Everybody will know your name. And then they can put away all those reasons to hate. And that's what Isaiah was saying. And guess what? That's what I was saying. Oh, Lord, if you just come down. Come down and show them who you are. Because that's what's missing. That's what's missing. Somebody uses the fact that we have to have faith to push that stuff. But if you just come down. Because you know what? Ain't nothing. Y'all live in... And you know, I kept using certain words like "ain't" and stuff like that. Microsoft Word was telling me I couldn't use those words, and so I went into the back and put "ain't" into their autocorrect. So I told them a thing or two. You tell me what I can't say. But you know what? Nothing will get our attention anymore. It will take your attention off of me if this building started to shake and roll. That's what it means. If he came down and tore open the clouds and everything shook, it'll be more "oh my God" going up, and not in the sense of defiling the name, but they would literally be calling "oh my God." And that's all we're telling them. Do it now. Oh my God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Do it now. Because when he comes down like that, he ain't coming to get you. If you have never believed in him or wanted to talk to him or wanted to have anything to do with him, you want to hate. So that the nations might quake at your presence. And I just had to put that in there. I'm sorry. That blew me away when I read that. Matthew 24:3, you can write that down. When Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, then the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, "See to it that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." So I believe that hate of this day and this age has caused many to think that it is a sign of the end of the age. Well, it is no different from what we're about to read and what I just read. I'm sorry, what I just read. Matthew 24:1 is Jesus left the temple and was walking away. His disciples came up to him. Anybody remember that? And they told him, and you know, said, "Do you see all these things?" He replied, "And truly I tell you, not one stone will be left upon the other." If you go back further than that, they were talking about how beautiful the temple was and how well it was built and all of the things that were put into the building. And Jesus was telling them that all of that's going to be gone. And that's when they asked the question, you know, tell us. So he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." "But see to it that you are not alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of birth pains." Now, do you see anything that you heard about recently? Do you see it? It's right up there on the board. Do you see it? Do you know that this was written a long time ago? Do you know that we're seeing it today? Okay. They're talking about the Bible isn't relevant. The Bible is the most relevant thing. Didn't say elephant. The Bible is the most relevant thing they can read. Then they will deliver you over to be prosecuted and killed. And then you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Come on. At that time, many will fall away and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. See, we got a lot of things going against us. We're trying to love everybody, and we're doing a spiritual love for everybody to bring them into Christ. But they're saying a lot of us will fall away, and our love will grow cold. And we need to fight against that. And that's the fight we have every day. Every day. Every day. You go in a store and you're in line and you're just saying, hey, how you doing? No response. People, you know, pushing their carts. Oh, excuse me. And normally people at least say, because they'd be like, why? You know, oh, excuse me, I walked past you and you were looking at the ketchup. And I walked past you and you're looking at the ketchup. Well, I'm going to say, excuse me. I went by you. And now they, what are you doing? It's like I walked past you. I blocked your sight. I'm saying, excuse me. They don't know it anymore. And it's just they don't realize I'm just being polite. I know I got just as much right to walk down that aisle as they do, but I'm blocking your sight all of a sudden, and I need to say, excuse me, I'm going by. And if, guess what? If they were come to Christ, they would gladly say, that's okay. Because that's what they used to say. Mm-mm. What is this thing about hate? Why is it so strong? It's not stronger than Jesus. And, you know, and if you hold on, and make sure, if you hold on, guess what? You'll be with Jesus. And if it's just the people in this room, and I'm praying it's not just the people in this room, but if it's just the people in this room, then we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that means if somebody could come in here right now and be as rude as they can to every one of us, and not one of us should get up and do more than anything to just try to talk to them and ask them, can we help you in some way? We got Brother Russell over there with a cane. We got Brother Ray over there with a cane, but we're hoping we can keep them calm so they don't go and try to whack up on somebody. Because we're not supposed to do that. But we're supposed to go and talk to them and say, hey, what's wrong? How can we help you? And even if it shuts this whole sermon down, which I know some of you are saying, can that happen? But even if it shuts this whole sermon down, and we focus our attention on that person because they need help. And we'll cut the camera off, and we'll say, hey, talk to us. Let us sit down and talk to us. Because we love them. We can't say we love you and then tell you to get out. And if you think that's love, you need to stay a little longer. But you thought if they leave, then you know. No. You need to stay a little bit longer. I got other stuff I can read to you. And Jesus was telling them in that time, he said what? You'll be hated by all nations. Many will fall away, will betray and hate one another, and the love of most will grow cold. We need to keep our love warm and hot. Because that's the way we're going to be receptive when someone who wants to hear the word of God comes into the building. That warmth and that love is what they're going to see. Ecclesiastes 3:1, if you want to go there. We're going to probably be there the most time. And then we'll try to end this. (Clears throat) To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. See, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes teaches that there's a time to love and a time to hate. And so we're going to be going into that, and we're going to get to that here in a second. And then 5 says a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to discard, and a time to tear, and a time to mend, and a time to be silent, and a time to speak. And it covers all of that. And it's saying it's a time to do all of those things. And then 8, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time of peace. So there's a time to love. And isn't that how it always starts out? And somehow love turns to hate, and then hate turns to war, and only after enough damage is done we seek peace. Then did you notice that it starts out in love, and then it goes to hate, and then it goes to war, and only when enough damage is done, we can't ever seem to reach the peace until enough damage is done, until enough lives are lost. Do they realize that as they're telling you to hate one another, that it's just going to get worse? And we need to stop it now. We need to reverse this. Somewhere in there is, you know, the tentative to get it done, take it back to love, so that we don't have to see so many people getting hurt. Turn. Anybody recognize that? I mean, okay, so some of you have to be a little older to recognize that. Turn, sometimes known as to everything, turn. It's a song written by Pete Seeger in the late 1950s. The lyric, except for the title, which is repeated throughout the song, and the final 2 lines are adapted word for word from the English version of the first 8 verses, which I just read, of the 3rd chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. The song was originally released in 1962, where I was originally released in 1962. Yes, and I'm a classic as well. Just in case you didn't think that. To everything there is a season on the folk group The Limelighters RCA album Folk Matinee, and then some months later, Seeger's own The Bitter and the Sweet. The song became an international hit late in 1965 when it was adapted by the American folk rock group The Byrds. So most of you know this song from The Byrds. The Byrds single, their version of this song, is the most successful recorded version of the song, having reached number 1 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts, 26 on the U.K. singles chart. The book of Ecclesiastes was written between, I kind of put it in between 450 and 180 BCE. I think that counts that way. And thus, Turn is the number 1 pop hit with the oldest lyrics. Because they use those 8 verses of Ecclesiastes, it is the number 1 pop hit. It has the oldest lyrics. I thought that was just a bit of good information in a world that's going in complete chaos. That the first 8 verses of the book of Ecclesiastes is part of the oldest lyrics on the number 1 of the Billboard Hot 100 charts. I thought that was pretty cool. I know y'all looking at me like y'all don't think so, but that's all right. The song starts out to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And then goes into the 8 verses, which I read. So I believe all these folks were trying to make a statement even back then. And as popular of a statement it was, it seemed to be that most folks back then missed the point. These are renditions of the first 8 verses of the book of Ecclesiastes were received worldwide, but as a form of art, and thus it was taken as art, most probably missing the point. And that's sad because they had the world. And they had the world reading the Bible, singing the Bible. Have you ever seen it? The song is a nice song. They had the world singing the Bible, and not one of them said what? Come to Christ. I don't know if the birds themselves thought about that, but they decided to use the first 8 verses from the book of Ecclesiastes, and they captivated the world. Come to Christ. They missed an opportunity. So I believe all these folks were trying to, they're probably missing the point. Now take a look at how they finished the song. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of peace. I swear it's not too late. What do we keep telling people? You need to come to Christ before it's everlasting too late. They stand, they're hoping it's not too late. They want a time for peace where before it's too late. They had an opportunity. They had a grand opportunity. At least it's not too late today for anyone who wants to join the body of Christ. Tomorrow may be too late. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This is a season you should turn your heart to God. The Bible says there's a time to hate, but if you're going to hate something, why not hate the things that God hates? If you want to read about what God hates, go to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm saying if you want to read what he hates, go there. That'll give you something to hate. Why not read it, and why not consider being on God's side? Find out what he hates and hate what he hates. Psalm 139:19-24 says there's a kind of perfect hatred which is consistent with the hate David felt for God's enemies. You can read that too. Psalm 139:19-24. You can read it, Brother Russell. You don't have to look. Brother Russell, boy. Okay, all right. Because he still got that cane over there. The Hebrew word describing David's perfect hatred, and this is the King James, meaning it brings the process to completion. In other words, goal-oriented opposition. We're trying to hate what God hates, so what? So we can get people to stop hating God. At least we can know what Jesus said. We can know who the goat and the sheep are. And that's what, of course, the ultimate opposition to those who oppose God, I got a little ahead of myself, to love God, or failing that, to at least stop them from destroying the people who do love God. A perfect hatred. In 1 John 3:11, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And in 1 John 3:12, he says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. For why did Cain slay him? Because his own deeds were evil, while those of his brothers were righteous. And that's a story we talk about, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel come up all the time. Cain and Abel come up when you and your sibling can't get along. One of y'all is Cain and the other one's Abel. At least that's what my mom used to say. And I don't know why I had to always be Cain, but it was what it was, I guess. Now the Old Testament contains condemnation of hatred. For example, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. The New Testament emphasizes that evil intentions can be as serious as evil actions. Thus John, the same John here, counted hatred as serious as murder. So as I leave you, I'm going to leave you with the book of 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 3. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, so do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life Because we love our brothers. Because we love our brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. So that's what I want to leave you with. Our invitation, hear God's word, repent, be willing to follow God's word, confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be baptized to put on the Christ, the whole process washes you, cleanses you, you become a member of the body of Christ. 1 John 3:15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Now you know that eternal life does not reside in a murderer. If there was ever a, if there ever was a season to, this would be the season to turn. So if this is your season to turn to Christ, I've already given you the invitation. Hear, believe, repent, confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We'll baptize you. You'll be a member of the body of Christ. All of your sins will be washed away. And we're going to take that consideration for anyone who might want to take it as we stand and sing the invitation song.
All to Jesus I surrender, all.